A reading from Ephesians 5, verses 1 to 21. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and live in love as Christ loved us, and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But fornication and impurity of any kind or greed must not even be mentioned among you, as is proper among saints. Entirely out of place is obscene, silly, and vulgar talk. But instead, let there be thanksgiving. Be sure of this, that no fornicator or impure person, or no one who is greedy, that is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be associated with them. For once you were darkness, but now in the Lord you are light. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light is found in all that is good and right and true. Try to find out what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what such people do secretly. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for everything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, "Sleeper, awake, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Be careful then how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time, because the days are evil. So do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, singing and making melody to the Lord in your hearts, giving thanks to God the Father at all times for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Be subject to one another out of reverence for Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Well, good evening, Church Without Walls. I am Tim Zener Davis. I am a member of the teaching team here at Church Without Walls. Just give me a moment. I got a lot of stuff going on. I got to get it settled in here. All right. All right, here we go. All right, so we are in a series that we are calling God Makes All Things New. We are looking at Paul's letter to Ephesians as we're doing this. And throughout this series, we've been talking about resurrection stories. And we've had folks come up and give personal resurrection stories about places in their lives that God has made anew. And so tonight, we don't have anyone coming up. But I will be giving kind of my own testimony within my sermon, so we will be on track with that. Let me start by saying I love language. In particular, I like vernacular. Okay, wait a minute. I like slang. And I know that some of you are like, really, Tim? You? Yeah, I know it's hard to believe, but it is true. I really like all of the phrases we have that mean to give information, right? Like, I'm going to give you the 411. Or, let me give you the rundown. I'm going to tell it like it is, right? But my favorite phrase is, I'm about to drop the science. Because when someone says they're about to drop the science, that means they're going to get to the heart, to the core, to the meaning of whatever it is they are about to say. In fact, dropping science is so cool that you don't even have to be the person that says it, right? You, like, other people will say it to set you up as an expert. Like, someone might ask, Tim, what do you think of Common Core? And I might start off by saying, well, let me tell you. And then someone else will jump in and go, uh-oh, he about to drop the science. dropping science is such a cool phrase. The Beastie Boys wrote a song about it. The new knowledge. In Ephesians, Paul is kicking the new knowledge about what it means to be redeemed by God. And in chapter 5, verses 1 through 21, he is dropping science about what our walk with Christ is supposed to look like. So going forward with tonight's talk, I want to go back to the end of chapter 4 to kind of just see how we get into chapter 5. So we're looking at Ephesians chapter 4 starting at verse 17. Now this I affirm and insist on in the Lord, you must no longer live as the Gentiles live. In the futility of their minds, they are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of their ignorance and hardness of heart. They have lost all sensitivity and have abandoned themselves to licentiousness. Greedy to practice every kind of impurity. That is not the way you learn Christ. For surely you have heard about him and were taught in him as truth is in Jesus. You were taught to put away your former way of life, your old self, corrupt and deluded by its lusts, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to clothe yourselves in the new self created according to the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. These verses offer us a lens through which we look at tonight's scripture. Now, let me start by saying tonight's scripture is like my Uncle Wilbur at Thanksgiving. Loaded. Take that any way you want to. As I was doing my research for tonight's sermon, you can imagine that I found a wide range of commentary that interpreted this scripture very different. Some folks interpreted it literally. Others approached it more academically. And then others were more or less a little political. What I do not plan on doing tonight is getting into a socio-religious political discussion. Rather, I want to focus on what I think is the big idea theme of tonight's scripture, because regardless of where writers went in their commentary, the commonality between them was the notion that what Paul is talking about, when you get right down to it, is right relationship. Right relationship with God is the foundation of us having right relationship with ourselves and right relationship with the world around us. See, when we see ourselves in Christ, it dictates how we behave. We know that we've been made anew, set apart. We are no longer bound by the vacuity of the present age culture. And we strive and often struggle to be obedient in our walk with Christ. Yet, as faithful as we are, we must not forget of those secret plots of the wicked, or the scheming of evildoers that the writer of Psalm 64 warns us about. Make no mistake, it's hard out here for a Christian. I know. In our walk, we must constantly be on guard. Because not being in right relationship with God causes us to objectify and dehumanize not only ourselves, but the folks around us. It drags us out of the light, back into the darkness, and knocks us out of step in our walk. The title of tonight's sermon is Living It Differently. But I said I like slang and I like subtitles. So tonight we're going to be living it differently while not trying to get caught up. Paul gives credence to the old adage, the more things change, the more they stay the same. Just as first century Christians, we live in a present age culture that thrives on objectification and dehumanization, and the commodification of the lie that gluttony and overindulgence is what we need to feel whole. Paul repudiates that lie by reminding us we are imitators of God. And we see the physical manifestation of what it is we are imitating in Christ Jesus. Christ shows us that a right relationship comes out of love. The love we receive in God's grace. The love that we received and God sacrificing his only son so that we might be redeemed. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we ask that you just rain your Holy Spirit on us here this evening, Lord. Open the eyes of our heart, Lord. Open our ears to hear the word that you have for us. And we pray this in your mighty name. Amen. The subtitle of tonight's sermon is Don't Get Caught Up. I think that that's an appropriate subtitle because we are working from a text that is very direct and firm as to the code of conduct befitting followers of Christ. The text is absolutely telling us that Christians must avoid at all cost sexual sin and greed. But we could get so caught up aiming at those big sin targets of pornography, promiscuity, the hoarding and love of money that we would never make a personal connection to this scripture. I truly feel that we're not supposed to let this scripture wash over us in broad strokes. I believe that God has a word, if not for all of us, for some of us, in where we're going to go this evening. See, it would be easy for me to go all fire and brimstone, especially with verses 3 through 5. And I know some people are probably expecting me to. Tim, go drop the science. I do not believe that is what I'm supposed to be doing tonight. And so I feel that God is taking me in a different direction. It may be different than what some folks expect. It may not be what some folks want, but I apologize going forward. I hope that we do not lose sight of how Paul starts off this chapter by making clear, first and foremost, we are God's beloved children, and live in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. When I was 10 years old, I lived in Daly City. I lived on a pretty nice block. There was like a gang of kids, a lot of diversity. We had big fun. Down the street from me lived the former mayor of Daly City. And on weekends, he would gather all of us kids together, and we would do street cleaning. We would clean up our block. We would clean up around the neighborhood. And this became a big deal for us, right? Because we were big shots, man. I mean, we're working with the mayor. The mayor is mentoring us. You better recognize. So one day he came to us and he asked if we would be willing to go to a city council meeting where we would share with the council the cleaning that we were doing on weekends and talk about how important it was for young people to take pride in their community and really work at keeping it up. And out of the 15 or so kids that were a part of this group, he chose me to be the spokesperson. I don't know why he would have ever thought that I would want to do that. I was big timing it, y'all. I was big timing it. It was the first time that I had any kind of idea about civic pride that leads to civic duty. And it made me feel special that the mayor had chosen me. And it made me want to act different and be more conscious of how I behaved, right? I had to be mature because people saw me as representing the mayor. You know, I had to leave childish things behind. But I was 10 years old. So it was real easy for my friends to pull me back into my 10-year-old immaturity. But that feeling of feeling special, I feel it tenfold now, knowing that God sees me as special and that I'm loved in the eyes of Christ. It makes me want to be different. It makes me want to live my life according to Jesus. But I get caught up. You see, when we preach condemnation of sexual sin and greed, and don't get me wrong, we should be preaching condemnation of sexual sin and greed. But we often act as if that's just a natural result of humankind's sinful nature. But our God is magnificent in his generosity. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3 tells us that as we grow in our knowledge of God, through his divine power, he gives us everything we need for life and godliness. God has given us, well, I believe, and I may be the only one who believes this, but I believe that God has given us the gifts of sociology and psychology. And in doing so, has helped us grow in our knowledge that when folks sometimes fall into sexual sin or are obsessed with greed, I need more, I gotta get it, I gotta get it, I don't care who I hurt to get it, I must have it. It's usually because there's an emptiness that has been caused by a pain inside of them that they cannot fill or heal on their own. There are places where God's presence is not there. And there's usually shame, anger, distrust. All of that comes with that emptiness, with that pain, with that hole in the soul. Some of us know quite intimately. And it knocks us out of step in our walk. And it keeps us from being in right relationship with God, which means that we're not in right relationship with ourselves, so it is impossible for us to be in right relationship with those around us. Now, we are vulnerable to the present age culture cures to that emptiness, to that pain. And this is where it gets personal. See, we can't just talk about the evils of the internet and television and how they feed us a steady diet of inappropriateness and greed and overindulgence. We should be not only looking at the ways we might fall in to these behavior, but it's super important, super critical that we be looking at why we might be falling into these behaviors. To treat the symptom and not try to root out the cause of the affliction does not allow us to be whole in Christ. All through my young adulthood, I put forth a lot of time and effort making sexual conquests. Just the fact that I'm using the term conquest lets you know where my head was at that time. I spent most of my free time trying to prove my manhood in bed. And that wasn't all. I developed attitudes about sex, my identity as it related to sex and women, that was just wrong. And not to get too deep into it, but let's just call it what it is. I was a card-carrying fornicator who fed off a steady diet of impurity. The lifestyle that Paul is calling out in this letter. And even after I accepted Christ into my heart, even after I married my beautiful wife, even though I was happily married, absolutely faithful, I couldn't get into a right relationship with myself. I still found myself preoccupied with sex. Still saw my sexuality as a core component of my identity. Still drawn to porn. And I prayed about it. Prayed about it. God, why can't I stop? God, what's wrong with me? Am I never to live the life that's acceptable to you? We're talking about, I know that we've been talking about the body of Christ. We also know that the body is made up of members. And if members are feeling pain and emptiness, you know, I don't know how, but I can only imagine that it must affect the whole body. Yeah. But God is good. Amen. And all the time. Where I was didn't fly with God. See, that's why I didn't want to go all fire and brimstone tonight. You know, and there's a place for fire and brimstone, but sometimes, especially when we're talking about some of the sins that Paul is talking about in this chapter, we can make God look stingy and unforgiving. But God wants us in right relationship. And during one of my prayers of lament and remorse, I heard, "What do you come from?" what do you come from? Now, that sounds cryptic maybe to some of you. It wasn't cryptic to me. I knew exactly what it meant. In my early childhood, I had been sexually abused. And so I spent most of my adolescence and my young adulthood in a self-imposed state of amnesia. But trying to block out what I had come from only ensured that I would live out this perverted idea of manhood. I was wounded. In many ways, I had been robbed of my childhood. And then I turned around and did everything I could to rob myself of my manhood. I had a hole in my soul that I couldn't even begin to heal until God helped me name it. And once God helped me name it, then my prayer changed. It went from, God, why can't I? To, God, heal me. Now, I wish I could, you know, give a testimony of miraculous healing. No. It's healing in progress. But God wants me to be healed. God wants me singing and making melodies to Him in my heart. See, the sin doesn't completely come from being out of right relationship. The sin is compounded when we don't ask Christ's help to lift us out of that sin. Some of you are probably thinking, come on, Tim. You're just letting people off the hook. You're just an apologist for bad behavior. I mean, you know, it's likely that there are people out there just wilding out, trifling. But I also know that for some of us in the body, there is some pain. Something that has caused a hole in our soul. That's made us prone to get caught up. There is a harshness to tonight's scripture, but I would hope that we wouldn't overlook the love language that's also in this letter. Verses 8 through 9. For once you were in darkness, but now in the Lord you are light. Live as children of the light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good, right, and true. The end of verse 14. Sleeper, awake from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. God hates the sin. But He loves the sinner. If you find yourself getting caught up, if you are caught up in any of these present age culture cures, when you're asking God to help you stop, ask Him to help you figure out why you're there in the first place. Because it's really hard for us sometimes. We get so caught up in the problem in front of us, we tend to not, or maybe you're like me, you tend not to want to look from the origins from which that comes. Then use the tools God has to offer to get you to a place of healing. Now again, some of these things, you know, I believe that God has given us everything. And so in that I say prayer, therapy, even a program. Whatever it takes to get you to a place of healing. See, I believe that these are all tools God has provided because He knows we need help. And until we get that help, and when we get that help, then we can truly live it different. Take out your connection cards, please. There are just a couple of next steps. If you feel that you are getting caught up or that you are caught up, first and foremost, take it to God. Don't try to go it alone, because that might just cause you to continue in a cycle of sin, rinse, repeat. Sin, rinse, repeat. And now let me tell you, God is going to always be there for you, but He'd also like to help you break that cycle. And if you find that you're in that cycle, well, maybe now is the time to really ask God for help to deal with the root cause and not just the symptom. God wants us in right relationship. He doesn't want us getting caught up. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we just ask that you let these words rest in our hearts, Lord. That you would just give us the strength to and the wherewithal to come to you as we find ourselves stuck in a pattern of sexual sin, of greed, Lord. It is only by your power that we can truly overcome those behaviors, those missteps in our walk with you, Lord. We praise you, Lord Jesus, that you are the great healer. And Lord, we just ask, Lord, we just open ourselves up to that healing. And we pray this in your name. Amen.